Before we move on to the next point, I want to give you an Old Testament type and shadow of why the inner witness is much more important than dreams and visions. And if you look back over in Exodus chapter 12. And what's happened here, Moses had been married. I'm sorry, I said Exodus, didn't I? It's Numbers. Numbers chapter 12, forgive me. Numbers chapter 12. Check and see if you're awake. Moses was married, and we picked the story up here in Numbers 12, verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. I got to admit, sometimes I really get a kick out of the King James way. It's like, okay, for emphasis, huh? Yeah, what God's trying to emphasize here is that there was some prejudice going on. And in verse 2, and they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Uh-oh. You married a woman that's not up to our standards, therefore you can't be hearing from God, therefore we can speak in your place. After all, we are the same family. We must carry the same anointing. Hath he not spoken also by us? Excuse me, when did he speak by Miriam? Just because she led a praise and worship service after they crossed the sea? Got to watch those worship leaders, praise God. And I like this next part. And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the earth, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Now look at this man. God, I think he's a little ticked here. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. Like he's talking to kids. Come out here, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. I mean, can't you just hear a father speaking like that? And they three came out, I guess. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and chewed them out. That's my version. And called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Now look at this. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. He will have a revelation of my glory, and he will know me. Wow. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? That's heavy. Now, this is a type and shadow of the inner witness versus dreams and visions. What God was saying is, listen, it's a whole lot more important for me to speak mouth to mouth. You say, well, I sure wish he'd do that with me. He is. He is. This is one of the... Do you know what? Listen, think about this. What's happening when you're praying in tongues? He's speaking mouth to mouth. And he's trying to give you a revelation of his similitude or a revelation of his glory, of his nature, of his existence, of everything about who he is and who you are in him. When you're praying in tongues, you're literally fulfilling this in your life. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you the things that He gets from heaven, and then as you begin to speak them forth, you're speaking them into heaven, if you will. Here's a type and a shadow of how the inner witness is much more valuable than the dreams and the visions. And God is not discounting dreams and visions. He says right here, I'll speak to a prophet in dreams and visions. Now that doesn't mean that everyone who has a dream and a vision is a prophet. But remember last night I was talking about how that dreams and visions are for the purpose of prophesying. In other words, God gives you a dream and a vision and then when you begin to take that dream and vision and you get the interpretation of it and you begin to speak it into your life, you begin to confess it or you begin to prophesy that dream and vision into your life. You see what I'm saying? So he's not discounting dreams and visions. What he's saying here in this is that there is a higher level of leadership and communication. It's when it's one-on-one. So when we're praying in the Spirit, we get this mouth-to-mouth communication with the Lord, but at the same time, it's causing us to learn how to be led by the Spirit, the inner witness, and not rely exclusively on dreams and visions. Well, the next area of communication is revelation. And this whole thing of revelation, it's an entire concept or principle released in us all at one time. Have you ever received a zip file on your computer? You know what a zip file is? It's a little file, and it looks like it's got a little zipper on it that maybe somebody sends to you. You download something on the internet, and you have to go through the process of unzipping it. Well, that thing comes to you all compressed and squeezed. You ever seen those little sponges? They're all real small, but when you put them in water, it's like they get really big. Well, that's what a revelation is like. It's like, boom, you know, God just gives this stuff to you. And there it is, man. You've got all this God knowledge, all this information. It's like, it's just all of a sudden, it's right there. One of the worst things you can do is to try and explain it to somebody as soon as you get it. Because you're going to look like a fool. What did you do? And then it was, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's like, no, I don't. Don't know that I want to. I'll give you an example for myself. Here about, I don't know, maybe it was 3 years ago. I don't remember exactly the timing. I'm praying, and then, I mean, boom, man, he gives me a revelation on the blood covenant. And for the next year, you know, he did not release me to teach it. I've got this thing bottled up, and it's like, okay, I want to teach this now. Like, when can I do it? So a year passes. You know, I'm praying in the Spirit and so forth. But as I'm praying over the course of this year, I'm unzipping that file, that revelation zip file. It's being unzipped on the inside of me, and he keeps giving me more, and he keeps giving me more. An entire year passes before I'm allowed to teach it, and then when I do teach it, it turns out to be 16 sermons. And it's entitled The Blood Covenant, From Covenant to Son. From Covenant to Son. I'm telling you what, it is absolutely powerful. But now see, if I had just jumped out there and tried to teach this thing the moment that he gave me the revelation, it might have been one sermon, maybe two or three. But I had to wait for him to clarify it to me. I mean, I already had an understanding of blood covenant, but what he gave me in those 16 sermons was powerful. Some of the stuff I'd never heard anywhere. And over the course of this year, I'm praying about this, more revelation. I'm writing this stuff down, taking notes and so forth. And then finally he says, okay, now teach it. And even during the teaching, he was giving me more revelation, more explanation, unzipping more of that file to me. One of the worst things you can do is to just jump out there and try to release a revelation before it's clarified. Now, would you like a modern day example of how somebody made a huge error and it has continually created confusion to this day? And I am not trying to create any problems among, I don't know how many people go to this church. I don't know your backgrounds and so forth. So please don't get upset with me. Brother Martin, you say that a lot. For good reason. You know of Azusa Street, right? You've all probably heard about what happened, you know, 100 years ago at Azusa Street, revival, Holy Ghost, and, you know, another day of Pentecost. Well, what happened one day, and at the moment I forget this man's name, but he was involved as a leader when this thing was going on. I mean, back then in Los Angeles, and that, they didn't have hotels like they do today. But they had tent cities that were built just for this revival. Thousands of people were moving from all across the country to that area, and they put up these tent cities. And that's where people were living. And they became entire communities, and some of them actually held elections to form little governments. Well, this one fellow was praying one day. He was in his tent, and he comes rushing out of his tent telling everybody he's got this new revelation. And so he gathers these people around and begins telling them this new revelation. Well, that new revelation that he received is what we refer to as the Jesus only movement. And that's where that denomination, won't give the name, but that's where that denomination was birthed. It was during Azusa. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. The moment that he gave that revelation and began teaching it, began drawing people unto him, it was just a little matter of time, and that whole revival fizzled out and died. That's what killed it. Now, it wasn't that he got... I'm not saying he didn't get a revelation, but what I'm saying is, in my opinion, the man was praying, the man was in the Bible, he got something, and I'm sure, obviously, Satan was involved in this, but the revelation that maybe God was trying to give him, he didn't hang around God long enough to get a clear explanation of the thing. And so he jumps out there and begins preaching something based on a few words that he sees in Scripture. And it brings, it creates literally the downfall of a revival. And an entire denomination is birthed, and there is conflict to this day over that teaching. Well, that's an example of how you can take a revelation and just come charging out with it. And this is, I'm telling you right now, guys, you can do what you want. I don't watch Christian television anymore. I just don't. Anytime somebody stands up and says, I got a new revelation from God, it's like, okay, wait a minute. Maybe you did, and maybe you didn't. And I've heard a lot of these revelations got a revelation from God, and they're not. They're not. See, let me tell you something. Every wrong doctrine has its origin in truth. Because if it didn't have an origin in truth, nobody would be deceived. Christians now. Every wrong doctrine has its origin in truth. Every false revelation has its origin in truth. Because Satan can't come up with anything original. So if you get a revelation and you haven't prayed this thing out, and you start trying to teach it, I'm telling you, somebody's going to take notice of this, and it's not just going to be God. And devils will be more than happy to embellish this revelation with wrong leadership. This is one reason why a lot of churches split. It's because some bonehead in the church got a revelation. And they end up starting their own church. Denominations get birthed. This has happened more than one time throughout history. Do you realize that most of the denominations that exist in the world today have only come into existence in the last basically 100 years? There was just a small handful that existed prior to 1900. From 1900 to today, it's exploded in denominations. Why is that? Well, you know, the Bible talks about in the last days, knowledge will increase, good and bad. And if godly knowledge is if people who are not spiritually mature try to implement godly knowledge, then you're going to end up with error. And so what do we have? Look at all these denominations now. I mean, how many variations of Baptists are there? Jimmy Swaggart once said there are more Baptists than people in the world. How many variations are there of the Church of God? I mean, you look in the phone book. It's Church of God this, Church of God that, Baptist this, Baptist that. That's not of God. Well, a lot of people, they take godly revelations, but before they get the clarity and understanding of the revelation, they mess up. Well, see, this whole thing with revelation, this is the way that God does it. And it's not just for preachers. It's for everyone. Yeah. Everyone. See, here's what's interesting. I teach this whole course on dreams and visions, and you walk away from it thinking, man, that, you know, good stuff, or boy, that was dumb, or I don't know, whatever you think about it. But yet, you haven't really grasped, say, the fullness of everything that gets taught. Well, see, God can drop into you a revelation zip file of 100% understanding of everything He wants you to know relative to understanding dreams and visions. But praying in the Spirit is going to enable you to begin unzipping that file more clearly, because the Holy Ghost knew this was coming. And so He's there to help you understand, help you grasp, help you comprehend everything that God's downloaded in the area of your spirit. The next way, the inaudible voice. The inaudible voice, it's so real it sounds like God's in the room with you, but it's not audible to anybody else. Now, some of you probably experienced that. I've had it happen to me before where God's awakened me at night. One time He said, Jim, wake up. It's like, what? He didn't say anything after that. No. I'm serious. Well, why'd he wake you up? I don't know. But I can tell you this, God doesn't do anything just to play games. For whatever reason, he wanted me to wake up. Now, I'm willing to admit, I heard him tell me wake up, I woke up, but I missed it after that. I mean, I'm willing to confess that. But it happened. And boy, when God wakes you up, trust me, you're not drowsy. You wake up immediately. But this inaudible voice, this is different than when you pray. Okay, I'll just say it this way. When I pray in tongues, I'll be praying in tongues, but on the inside, I'll be communicating with God. I'll be talking to him, like I'm talking right now, but on the inside. So my mouth, my lips, everything, you know, tongues are coming out, but on the inside, I'm having a conversation with God. And this is how he gives me a lot of revelation, how he gives me sermons, how he gives me clarity on Scripture, and so on and so forth. He'll talk to me like that, but that's not quite the same thing as the inaudible voice. It's very similar, but it's not exactly the same thing. But the inaudible, I guess one way to put it is the inaudible voice will sometimes come when you least expect it. Like maybe driving down the road and all of a sudden he starts talking to you. And you know, you immediately change the radio station because you don't want him to know what you were listening to 5 minutes ago. Like he didn't know. The audible voice. This is the out loud voice that's heard with your natural ears and other people can hear it too. Now, honestly, I doubt if anybody in this room has had this experience because this is very, very rare. Remember when Jesus was baptized and the voice from heaven, God is my beloved son. Some people heard it. Some people thought it thundered. Remember in the Old Testament when God spoke, some people heard it. Some people thought it thundered. Well, I remember with Paul. When Paul, why are you persecuting me? And the people around heard it. And I won't get into all of this teaching, but they did hear it. And part of the reason some of the people didn't understand it was because Paul was understanding what was being, it was being spoken to him in a language Paul could understand. And some of the people that were with him did not understand what was being heard, what was being said. They just heard a noise, thought it had thundered or whatever it is that Scripture talks about. But the audible voice is extremely rare, very, very rare. And here's why. Again, here's why. Here's why God doesn't want you depending on the audible voice and why he doesn't want you to depend on the inaudible voice. He wants you to be led by the inner witness. He doesn't want you to depend on voices. How can you, if you stand up and you start to preach a sermon and you say, "Now, folks, listen, I heard voices last night and here's the message for today." Some people get up and walk out, and I don't blame them. God doesn't want us depending on voices, even his. That's because he wants us to be so close with him spiritually, so in tune with him spiritually, that spiritually we understand when we're moving out of the direction he wants us to go. His perfect will is birthed in peace. His perfect will carries peace. When you're walking in his perfect will, you're walking in peace. Now, visions. There are different categories of visions. One is an inner vision. You see it, but you're also aware of your surroundings. There's the open vision. That's where you lose focus of your surroundings. There is the night vision. Now, this whole thing of night vision, generally speaking, when you see something in Scripture that talks about a night vision or a vision in the night, it's talking about a dream. However, a night vision can be such to where it's hard to tell if you're asleep or awake. And just to kind of give you I'll give you a couple of examples of things that happened to me. One happened back in 1997 or 98, September, in Canton, Ohio. I was at a Red Roof Inn. Pastor Dave Roberson was ministering at Pastor Gene Kelly's church in Louisville, Ohio. And I had gone up there for that conference. Well, I was staying at the Red Roof Inn, and in between the morning and the evening sessions, I went back to the motel. I went into my room, and I just decided I was going to take a nap because the service the night before had gone kind of long, a little tired. So I went to bed, I laid down, set the alarm clock so I wouldn't oversleep and miss the evening service. And the light was on in the room, and I was laying there, and I just could not go to sleep. I just couldn't go to sleep. You ever had times like that where it's like you're tired, but you can't go to sleep? Is that frustrating or what? So I'm laying there, and I'm, you know, and I mean, I'm looking at the wall, and you know, I'd roll, and I'd look at the TV. The TV wasn't on, but I mean, I could, you know, everything. I'm looking around, trying to go to sleep, couldn't go to sleep, and all of a sudden, the alarm clock goes off, and I open my eyes. But I had been laying there in bed, looking at everything the whole time. And at that moment, there was a real sense of disorientation that just lasted for a split instant, because I realized I had been asleep, but I had been awake. And I had been looking at the room the whole time. I'd even seen the alarm clock. And yet, I never knew when I went to sleep. I had passed. Can you imagine how hard this is to try and explain? It's like something happened, and I went to sleep, but my spirit was still awake, and I was still seeing everything. And I thought I was awake the whole time until the alarm clock went off, and I opened my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, I was looking at what I had been looking at. It's like, this is weird. You say, well, what happened? I don't know. But what I'm saying is, there was something that was happening to me in the realm of the Spirit, and I cannot explain it. I don't know what happened. I'm still waiting for clarity on that one. But it was so real to me that I did not even realize I was asleep. I was convinced I was awake. Then the alarm clock wakes me up from being awake when I was asleep. Now, the other one, it loosely, extremely loosely fits into this category. Remember last night I told you something happened to me about 40 years ago, and I'm still waiting for the understanding on this one? Now, what I'm going to tell you is one of the, literally, I think, one of the most bizarre stories you're ever going to hear. If you don't want to believe it, that's totally all right. But I was only about 9 years old when this took place. It was so real, I can describe the room to you to this day. We were in Corbin, Kentucky, where my parents grew up. Their parents lived there. And we were at my mother's parents. I can describe the wall to you, the paint, the colors, the light, the lamp that was on the stand. I can describe the alarm clock. I mean, I can see it when I talk about it. It's that clear. And it was, I don't remember the day of the week, but my dad and I were sleeping in this room, and my mom and my sister were in another room. And it was a big, like a queen-size bed. And I was on the bed, or I was on the side of the bed that was next to the nightstand where the lamp and the alarm clock were. And I was kind of laying facing the alarm clock, and there was a window over on the wall. And right on the other side of the nightstand, of the little table there with the alarm clock and the light, was the door to come into the room. So I was kind of laying on that side, looking in that direction. It was night, summertime, windows were open, it wasn't terribly hot, you know, you could hear the crickets and so on and so forth. You could smell that Kentucky air coming in the windows. I mean, just, I remember it that vividly. Now, y'all know how long it takes to blink. It takes longer to say it than it does to do it. As I was laying there, I blinked. And as my eyelids were going down, it was night. When my eyelids opened, it was about 8:30 in the morning. Just like that. I have no idea what happened. Something happened. You say, well, you just imagined it. Guys, it can't be an imagination if it's that vivid 40 years later. Something happened in the realm of the Spirit to me that night at that age. I blinked and went from night to morning instantly. And I don't know what happened. You say, well, maybe you were caught up in it. I don't know. I really don't know. But something happened in the realm of the Spirit. Now, whatever it was a spiritual encounter that I don't fully understand. And it doesn't 100% fit into this whole thing of a night vision, as far as you don't know if you're awake or asleep. But I can tell you what, when you blink your eyes and you pass from night to morning, and here's, how many of you ever stayed up all night and your body the next day is just exhausted? I didn't have that feeling. I was perfectly okay. I didn't have any of that residual, you know, no sleep hangover kind of a feeling that you get sometimes. But something happened to me that night. And someday I know I'll get the revelation of it. I just don't know when. Now, here's the thing when it comes, let me just throw this in ahead of time. When it comes to the revelation understanding of a dream or a vision, it doesn't always come as soon as you have it. Later on, I'm going to explain to you some of the things that have happened to me where I did get the clear understanding of that dream or of that vision. And sometimes you get it immediately. Other times it's for a season to come. And the reason for that, kind of jumping ahead a little bit, is because God wants you to meditate on what He has given you, partly because He may be planning to add more to it. So He cannot give you the revelation understanding of that dream or vision at this time. That's because He's preparing you for more that is to come. And then at the later time, He'll tie it all together. That's one of the reasons why don't get flustered if you cannot understand this dream that you had. This vision that you don't let it eat at you. Don't try to create an interpretation. Just let God give it to you. We'll talk about how to get the interpretation later on. When you talk about the book of Revelation, that whole thing was a vision. And John talks about, I was in the Spirit. Now, I'll be honest with you guys. You can go and you can Greek that out, but it's really kind of hard to define exactly what he meant by in the Spirit. Does that mean he was on his knees praying in tongues? And think about this. In the book of Revelation, that covers a little over 7 years of human history. Okay, but how long did it take John to get it? I mean, was this a five-minute event in his life that took, you know, the whole book to write about? Because sometimes that's the way it is. You can have a dream, you can have a vision, and it can take you pages to write it down, but it only took 15 seconds to get it. And later on, I'll give you an example of that one, of something like that. But this whole thing in the book of Revelation, it's hard to really clarify and understand what John meant by I was in the Spirit. Does that mean that he was having this thing that sometimes defined as a night vision where you don't know if you're asleep, don't know if you're awake, whatever? We don't know. But the entire book of Revelation is a result of a vision that John had given to him by God. Now, as far as God's communication and his word, there are a lot of people who declare that God speaks to them through his word. Now really hang with me on this one. This is true, but only on a relative sense, because God's word is a written form of what he has already spoken. A lot of people say, God told me what to do out of his word. Okay. I'm not really sure I understand what you mean by that, but my initial response is, no, he didn't. You say, yes, he did. No, he may have confirmed something he's told you to do out of his word, but there is no book of Pastor LaRue. Now, there is a book of James, hallelujah. Of course, now John, he's got four books in there. You understand what I'm talking about? God can speak to you through his word, but his word isn't going to speak to you. In other words, you're not going to read anything in here that's going to tell you, move to Hawaii and start a church. But as you're reading something in here, God could say, do you see this? And somehow confirm what he's already said to you about moving to Hawaii and starting a church. God's not telling anybody here to do that, by the way. You've got to stay here and help Pastor LaRue. Hallelujah. So, what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit concerning what we read. And if we're really listening, we won't use Scripture for wrong doctrine. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to birth error. He is only going to reveal and confirm truth. And he's not going to give you new truth either. He's only going to give you the truth. He's only going to confirm the truth that God's given to us through his word. The Holy Spirit has already spoken truth. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration of God translated means divinely spoken forth or breathed forth by God's Holy Spirit to man for interpretation and documentation. So the Holy Spirit has already spoken all he's going to speak when it comes to giving Scripture. Now, he's explaining and confirming Scripture, helping us to understand Scripture. This is, you know, a lot of people, say they come up, and I know it's happened to Pastor LaRue, you know, got a new revelation, got a new revelation, got a new revelation, got a new... It's like, man, you say you want a revelation, well, pray for yourself. God just might give you your own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bring my CDs next time. Listen, the only revelation God's going to give you is his will for your life, but it will never contradict his word. And he will use his word to confirm his will. But as far as, let me put it another way, the general will for the body of Christ is here in Scripture. His specific will for every step you will take in life is not contained in Scripture. He has to give that to you, but everything he gives to you will line up with what he has spoken. See? And this is one of the things that the Holy Spirit's going to do. So this whole thing about, when I hear people telling me, God told me to do this and God told me to do that, how'd you know that? Well, he told me out of his word. It's like, no, he really didn't, because you're doing something today that's not documented in Scripture. Now, he might have confirmed something to you out of his word. You say, well, aren't we like, you know, like our semantics, aren't we just kind of saying the same thing? Well, technically, yes, but technically, no, because, guys, there are a lot of, how can I put this? There are a lot of cereal Christians out there. Fruits, flakes, and nuts. And there are a lot of people. Okay, you've all heard the stories of these guys that go around saying that they are Elijah to come. All right? They're not. Trust me, they're not. So a lot of people take things out of Scripture and they mess up. Remember when God told the prophet to run around naked? If anybody comes in this church naked, you give him one of those gold claws and throw him out, man. Don't even try to cast the devil out. Throw them all out. Now let's talk about one other. It's kind of like a subcategory in this whole thing of how he communicates. And it really kind of fits in this area of the visions. And this has to do with being slain in the spirit. There are a lot of people that don't believe in this. Scripturally, it is a fact. Scripturally, it is a truth. In fact, I even taught an entire sermon, What is Slain in the Spirit, to help people understand that. And sometimes when you're slain in the spirit, you may not think anything is happening, but it is. However, there are... Now, this has never happened to me, but I have heard stories of people who were slain in the spirit, and God began to give them visions of, you know, whatever it would be. They experienced something in the realm of the spirit. Well, that would kind of fit into this like night vision type of thing, to where, you know, you're getting something, you're not unconscious, yet you're not fully awake, but yet he's giving you a vision. And again, the whole thing of the slain in the spirit, you're not guaranteed to get a vision every time you're slain in the spirit. It's just that it can happen that way. So I just wanted to add that for clarity and teaching purposes. Now, to specifically begin teaching about dreams and visions, in the Bible, the word dream appears 61 times, the word dreams appears 21 times, and the phrase in a dream appears 14 times. Now, this does include all of these appearances. They do include the references to things like hopes and desires. However, you know, the Bible talks about us committing our lives, committing our ways into him and so forth, and he gives us the desires of our heart. Well, see, it's not so much that he's going to give you what you want, but he's going to give you what you will want. In other words, his desires, say it this way, the establishment of his kingdom here in this world will become your desire. And you're going to start losing the desire for, like the song that we sing, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's what will happen. And you're going to start desiring what he desires. You're going to start wanting what he wants. And that's how he begins giving you the desires of your heart. That's not a passage for greed.
The Lord said he'd give me the desires of my heart. And I think I'd like another couple of Cadillacs, please.
No. Doesn't work that way. He will place in you his compassion, his mercy, his love, his grace, his will, his wisdom, his understanding, everything about him. I taught a series here. It was just finished. I mean, we don't even have the album insert finished yet. Has to do with spiritual knowledge, and I think it, I even forget what we titled it. But you know, in the Bible, it talks about there in like in Ephesians, it's talking about, you know, having the knowledge of God, and I used that in the teaching, and I said, you know, let's kind of use this as a play on words. Having the knowledge of God, not so much just knowing God and understanding who you are in Christ, but it's literally receiving a transference of information from His mind to your mind, having God's knowledge in your mind, to where you understand it, you know what to do. And in teaching that series, I could tell, you know, the light bulbs were going off above some people's heads. They were coming to an understanding how that God speaks from an eternal spiritual perspective. He doesn't speak from an earthly perspective. When we talk about knowledge, we talk about what we can learn, like here. Everything in this whole course that I'm teaching, do you understand this is soulish teaching? It doesn't become spiritual teaching until the Holy Ghost gets involved and this thing becomes real in your spirit. At this point, though, as I'm speaking this thing, it is basically soul to soul. I'm not communicating to your spirit. You see what I'm saying? Like me, my spirit and your spirit, that's not happening right now. But with the knowledge of God, He wants to take us beyond this thing of just the head knowledge and the head comprehension. Let me give you an example. You talk to somebody about healing, and they say, oh, I know I'm healed. I'm by His stripes, I'm healed by Him. And then later on when you're talking to them, all they want to talk about is their sickness, their disease. They don't understand yet. They don't yet have the full spiritual comprehension and knowledge that by His stripes I was healed. And that the power of the life on the inside of me is more powerful than this affliction that has attacked my body. Yes, I don't have a glorified body, and someday the spirit will depart from this body. It is, over time, gradually diminishing in its capacities because I'm getting older, and things are deteriorating in this world, and it's a part of this natural creation. But until that time, by His stripes, I was healed. And God wants us to come to the place of knowing and understanding from His perspective. This is one of the reasons that Jesus got into so much trouble. That's because He tried to communicate from God's perspective. And the people couldn't handle it because they had twisted the religion so much to make it a man's perspective religion. That's why they said He was casting devils out by Beelzebub. Well, this whole thing of these dreams. Dreams are a result of the mind and the spirit interacting through a series of pictures, images, sounds, and actions during sleep, such as an internal movie. And really, just about every dream you have is going to have something abstract about it. You know, I never played basketball very good, you know, in the natural. But let me tell you what, in my dreams, oh, hallelujah. I've had dreams where I'm dribbling. Between the legs and slam dunk. Oh my goodness! I had to watch out as I was jumping. And in one dream, I mean, I'm slam dunking behind the back and everything. And at one time, I had the ball. I'm dribbling. I go up for a slam dunk, and I jumped too high and went over the backboard. Where do I sign? Hallelujah! So things can be abstract in your dreams. And that's just basically the way that dreams work. But here's the thing. Generally speaking, your dreams are going to include something that is familiar to you. I was talking to somebody here not too long ago, just to give an example. They were sharing a dream, and a lot of things in that dream they didn't understand. However, the essence of that dream contained many things to which they could relate. Things from their life. There was a friend in that dream, and the home where this person had grown up was in that dream. So what's going to happen is, even though there will be an abstract nature to the dream, most of the time there's going to be something in that dream that is familiar to you. Now here's one of the reasons for that. It's because in your mind, everything that's there, God works with it. Now, we're talking right now from a spiritual perspective, not from a natural perspective here. And as you begin receiving dreams from Him, the imagery in the dream, using something that you know already, can sometimes help you to relate to the message of the dream. In other words, let me just make something up. In your dream, you encounter a friend. And this is somebody you've known for years. But this person's kind of weird. And all this, everything they've said, you know, they've always been kind of off the wall. And yet, they haven't been so obnoxious that you just cut them off your life. You know, we probably all know people like that. Well, God may be telling you in that kind of a dream, you know, that person might represent a real individual, and God's trying to show you some characteristic traits in maybe this new person that you've just met by using Mr. Weirdo in a dream. And there's a very good chance that in the dream, Mr. Weirdo will say something to you that 3 days later, Mr. New Encounter is going to say. And, oh, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. We've never heard that before. And then here comes, you know, rewind and play, there's the dream. It's like, oh, okay, God's warning me that this guy is going to be like former, you know, Mr. Weirdo here. And he's telling me ahead of time to guard myself, because this guy could possibly have a negative impact on my life. So I just made that up, okay? But what I'm saying is, that's why sometimes your dreams, as abstract as they may be, will contain something in them that is very familiar to you. Friends, family, places, locations, so on and so forth. In a spiritual dream, well, actually, your dreams can be spiritual or natural in nature, one or the other. They're always one or the other. They're either spiritual or they're natural. Now, in a spiritual dream is directly connected to the welfare of a person's eternal spirit all the time. All the time. 100% of the time, these kind of dreams are always connected, directly connected to the welfare of a person's eternal spirit. What I mean by that is, when God gives you His will is spiritual in nature. He gives it to you on a spiritual level. You are to carry it out first in the realm of the spirit, but it manifests, your obedience manifests in the realm of the natural. So it starts in the spirit and manifests in the realm of the natural. When it comes to these dreams and the welfare of a person's eternal spirit, primarily, first off, it's going to be you, and second, somebody else. Every dream, every spiritual dream you have, in some way, shape, or form, is going to impact you. Now, the primary thrust may be for somebody else, or us, you know, another thing or location or whatever, but it does have some... Okay, think about it. If God's given you this spiritual dream, obviously it impacts you in some way. Even if you're just the person that's supposed to relay a message, it still impacts you on some level. These dreams can be messages directly from God. They can also be influenced by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, isn't that the same thing? Well, sort of. Some dreams are going to be more profoundly evident in their meaning and more profoundly spiritual. In other words, you're going to have the dream and, dude, you are going to know. And it's almost like God has stepped down from the throne, stepped into your mind and painted a picture for you personally. Influenced by the Holy Spirit. Has anybody here ever been laying in bed just silently, you know, whispering, praying in tongues, and fallen asleep while you're praying in tongues? Man, I'm telling you what, and I'm not prophesying, I'm not 100% guaranteeing you, but I am going to tell you, odds are you moved into a spiritual dream very quickly right after that, as when you fell asleep praying in tongues, because you were opening the door of your spirit for the... Now, you may not remember it. When you woke up, you may not have remembered what he did, but I'm telling you, you can't go to sleep praying in tongues, and the Holy Spirit said, well, I guess I got to leave now. I remember one time my wife and I were ministering. I'll finish this story when we come back. I told you before, we're going to try and do our best to be, you know, real pinpoint on these times, so I'll pick up this story when we come back. And that concludes this particular teaching session. And Pastor LaRue now has something he wants to say.
Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Don't you appreciate the thoroughness?